If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the inaccurate voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Okay, here we go. Good morning, Matthew.
Good morning, Richard.
Okay, you haven't explained why I'm inaccurate.
Okay, so do you remember the last podcast that we recorded?
I do, yes.
Okay, here's a quick snippet, all right, from that podcast, all right? 1 second.
Was it Schmeichel-esque when we go back to the Bayern Munich? Not quite as big a moment as that. You know the one I mean, Sheringham.
Yeah, I know the one you mean.
Remember that,
yeah. I don't think Schmeichel didn't actually win a header,
yes,
did he? Like a flicked header,
wow.
Like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Little bit there.
Remember it well.
Bit more?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, here we go.
Someone who,
he jumped up for the header, didn't he?
Who really considers himself the fountain of knowledge. Yeah, corner came in from David Beckham. Schmeichel with the header to the far post. He then retreats a little bit, Schmeichel does. And then, of course, they score thereafter. And I think it's after that, you might remember. I'm pretty sure that's when he goes and does his little cartwheel as well. Anyway.
No, he did his cartwheel after they scored the second. That's when he
might have been the second. You're right.
Yeah.
No, so the first, so he won the header.
Right, okay.
That's the point. But if you don't remember it, you don't remember it. Like, you're not expected to remember these types of things. But okay,
all right.
I find this really odd that you're bringing all this up and proving me right.
But it's not a problem.
Okay,
it's not a problem. I just at the time. So when we discussed this, I thought the listeners don't want to hear us constantly going back and forth bickering like school kids in the playground.
Mm.
They don't want that, do they?
Well, I mean, some do, but.
Well, maybe
most
they do.
Most, I think, listening for the goalkeeping content and not for us bickering. Yeah,
true. And I suppose, in a way, this is goalkeeping content because we're talking about a Manchester United goalkeeper in Peter Schmeichel.
Well. Right? Brilliant moment.
Okay, so I didn't want to just elaborate, really. At the time, I thought he's got that completely wrong. What I thought you did, I have to be brutally honest, is create one of those hybrid memories. You remember how you seemed to think that you were very close to a Cristiano Ronaldo penalty all those years back when you were at Watford,
yeah,
at Old Trafford. Remember that? And it was wrong because you went completely the opposite direction to what you remembered.
Misremembered. Yeah.
Yeah, misremembered. So you've misremembered this and I was right.
I don't think you were. Everything that I've just described there, I've watched the footage. Ball comes in, Schmeichel flicks it on, retrieves, Sheringham scores. And then he does the cartwheel after. I didn't give a specific time frame. Obviously, I didn't mean necessarily after the first goal. It could have been after the second goal. But in terms of the corner coming in, 100% it's a flick on from Peter Schmeichel.
Okay, well, that's incorrect. So the second goal, yes, of course, it was the cartwheel, which I made quite clear there. And you were like, okay, all right, well, maybe that's right. Anyway, he got the flick on. Like Matty Ryan, this all stemmed from the Matty Ryan flick
very
on,
similar.
Right? Absolutely nothing like it.
Very similar.
You've created the hybrid of Schmeichel and Sheringham's flick on for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's goal, right? I didn't want to say it at the time. That was more similar to Matty Ryan, okay?
Mm.
Schmeichel did not win a header. I'm putting it out there. He did not win a header. I say, as you hear there, he went up for the header, didn't he? But he didn't win it. He didn't flick it on like you're suggesting.
Of course he did. Well, how did the angle of the ball change in the way that he did if he doesn't win the flick?
Because I think it was Thomas Linker that won the header. It came off his head.
Back on himself.
Didn't go back on it. It just carried. The angle didn't change. The trajectory of the ball didn't change. It then went out, didn't it? And Dwight York knocked it back in and Torsten Fink miscued the clearance.
Yep. Sheringham.
Yeah, Giggs back in. Sheringham.
Yep.
Okay. Shall we have a look at it?
Yes,
now, this is. I know this is going to be frustrating for listeners, but right now I'm showing Richard Lee a clip of what we're talking about. Okay,
let me see.
So here we go. I've managed to find one that zooms right in.
Brilliant.
Okay,
and
so
I
here
look
we go.
To this.
Okay, good. So Sheringham.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, coming in.
Little flick from Schmeichel.
Was that a flick from Schmeichel?
That looked very much
like, again,
and again, you've just for the listeners, again, very frustrating for the listeners. It's a good job this isn't a podcast, is that you are showing me now a video that is the size of a mobile phone screen. Is there no way you can make that any bigger? Because Apparently not. But look, it's fine. All I can see is a ball being whipped in by Sheringham. Whipped in by Beckham, and it's being flicked on by Peter Schmeichel. If people see this differently, right, please explain how it's gone towards.
Because the corner's come in from Beckham. Of course it's gone towards Dwight York because there hasn't been a change in the direction of the ball. Here we go. Slower motion.
I'm not sure if you're joking or not now.
Really?
Not sure if you're joking. Let's have a look. Whipped in.
Right.
We're and now this right tell me down. How the ball can possibly change direction if it's not a header from... Here we go.
Right, so Schmeichel going up. I'm slowing this right down frame by frame. Paused
it. This is incredibly frustrating for the listener. Schmeichel with
Thomas Linker.
What can you see there?
I can see that on Thomas Linker's head.
Oh my word. You can actually see the ball on Peter Schmeichel's head as we speak.
This is absolutely
right now.
Ridiculous.
This is incredible. Your eyes and it
hardly
now
changes direction.
And now it's gone back towards goal. Look,
you're being incredibly facetious here. So I'm right, you're wrong. Can you please just accept it?
I'll tell you what we'll do. Please put out a survey. We can do this very easily on Twitter. Who heads the ball? The guy you mentioned or Peter Schmeichel? And let's see who wins the vote. It's a very simple question.
I'll happily do that. If people want to get on Twitter and answer this question, that's fine. I'm sure they've got better things to do with their day, but maybe... They would like to do it.
If they're listening to me and you bickering right now, the chances are they don't. So there is a good chance they will go on our Twitter and they will answer this question, and that will give us clarity once and for all.
So the finer details, of course, I wasn't aware that it was Thomas Linker who went up with Schmeichel. I couldn't remember that it was Torsten Fink who cleared the ball, miscued the clearance. However, I did remember that Peter Schmeichel did not win the header in the way that you're suggesting Matty Ryan won the header in Arsenal's draw with Fulham the other day. Completely different.
I see them as being very similar. The way it's going to bring us on quite nicely into this show is actually, once again, we do have goalkeeping involvement at the other end of the pitch in this week's show.
We do. Mm. Plenty.
We do.
Yes.
Mr. David Stockdale. I'm looking forward to discussing that one because quite a big moment for him and for Bayo Akinfenwa, of course. In fact, loads has gone on this week. I thought this was going to be just our usual Thursday show where we go through a handful of things and it's a 20-25 minute show. But no, I think we've got a real bumper episode
today. Yeah, we thought it was going to be short and sharp, but you're right, bumper. Bumper is the right word.
But we started this in a good vein. I'm looking forward to this vote. And I'm very, very confident that you guys will vote in my favour and choose Peter Schmeichel out of the two. So we'll look forward to seeing how that goes.
Let's see.
It is effectively me or you. That's what they're choosing right now.
Yeah.
Because it's a tough call. Look, I can see that it's Peter Schmeichel. You can see that it's the German fella. And they've got a choice now. It's either me or you.
It is. Mm. Ooh, gritty.
Indeed.
Very gritty. We just cannot wait for Monday. If you'd like to go on Twitter, you'll find that poll at some point later today, I suppose, which is at GK Union. Of course, you can email us for any other goalkeeping goodness on hello@goalkeepersunion.net or WhatsApp us 07503673020. On with the show.
Let's do it.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, so a near full complement in the EFL, but we're going to start with the Premier League. As per Richard, Spurs 2, Southampton 1. And let's start with a double save from Hugo Lloris. Talk to me.
Very, very good. Yeah, first save, good reaction save. A save, should I use a cliche? A save you'd expect him to make. Should we go with that one? But it was a save that was, it was a good reaction save. I don't think he would have been able to have held this. I don't think there's a goalkeeper that could have held this. And when it's fired in at you like that, there's very little you can do in terms of where you parry it. So ultimately, it is going to drop down and you're reliant on a bit of luck. It does fall to them, but it's the speed at which he gets up and the intelligence he shows in order to throw himself to his right, but knowing that the likelihood is that's where the ball's going to be struck. And that's exactly what happened. And he's absolutely fired it in. It was a reaction of the attacking player. You'll know who the attacking player was.
Shea Adams.
That's the one. It was the reaction of Shea Adams which really did it for me because he has absolutely nailed this. And how Lloris has managed to get a firm enough contact on it to get it around the post is beyond me.
Just quickly, The second goal that never was for Spurs, they scored from a penalty at the end of the game to win the game. But before that, Heung-min Son did score and it was ruled out. Mm. Now, we spoke a lot on the last podcast about appealing. And if you really make an appeal, sometimes you'll get the decision. That was with regards to Alphonse Areola and Fulham and that goal not being disallowed. This time, Alex McCarthy, back in for Fraser Forster, we'll speak about that in a moment, did not appeal, but Lucas Moura was in his eye line and the goal was disallowed.
Yeah, interesting. I think there was, for me, a feeling from Alex McCarthy that he's never saving this. This is going right in the corner, unstoppable. So it almost looked like he had just accepted that it was a goal, regardless of what happened in front of him. The fact that he was slightly blocked, no goalkeeper is saving this. So it felt, or it looked like that, certainly. But look, correctly, it was given offside, of course, because he is interfering with play. I guess it's we'll never know. Even though we know that he's not getting to that. It's physically impossible to get down to that ball and make a save. You can't say that because you do never know. When there is someone in your eye line, there is always that slight chance that you make the save.
Fraser Forster, back on the bench. Now, only this week, he'd done an interview on the Southampton website saying how glad he was to have the opportunity and how much he was determined to try and take it. One game later, he's back on the bench.
We're seeing a lot at the moment, actually. I don't know whether this is a time in the season where teams that are safe are seemingly swapping goalkeepers. I mean, we're going to be talking about the Championship chopping and changing that we're seeing.
And in League One and League Two, I think, as well.
Actually, do you know what? Look, you do tend to see it. So, you know, I think when I had my first glut of games, it was the back end of the season. And you see it as an opportunity to potentially blood younger goalkeepers. But also, I think if you are not 100% sure as to what you're going to do in the summer regarding your goalkeeping situation, this might be a last chance to make a decision on a goalkeeper or two. And the Southampton one's interesting because you've got two goalkeepers now that we spoke about this at various clubs, two goalkeepers that seemingly would consider themselves at a similar level, both wanting to be number ones. And you wonder if they are going to both go into next season, how does that settle out? I couldn't say now that it's definitely going to be an Alex McCarthy or a Fraser Forster who's going to be number one next season. So I guess for me, it is partly that, where the manager will be looking at it and saying, okay, let's just have another look. Going into the summer, are we going to move one of the lads on or are we going to go with both? And who is my number one?
Leeds 1, Liverpool 1, a clean-cut Alisson with a clean-cut performance.
Yeah, looking really good. I think last couple of games, couple of very good saves in particular. The first one, brave save, came out in the first half, made himself very big. There's always a bit of a risk to this because you could see, as much as it is a, he's come out and spread and looked to smother effectively, he's kept himself very big, like his head's up. He's made a good shape with his body and he's quite brave going into the challenge. And then I really enjoyed the second save, and it's one that I think on commentary they said it's a miss as opposed to a save because he hit it straight at him. But how often do you see that goalkeepers, when you're in that position and you're set and you're ready to make the save, that you can guess and maybe consider where the player might go? Where effectively what Alisson's done, he's got close enough and he's just stood there and he's big, got a good set position, and it's ended up being smashed. It's hit him square in the chest. But again, it would only have taken the slightest movement and no doubt that would have gone through him.
Yep, anything that Melier could have done with a goal scored by Liverpool?
This for me is an interesting one because we talk about Melier a lot playing on the front foot and looking to affect play. And I think this is a case of balls come through. He's trying to cut this out effectively at source. And of course, if he does get there, then it's danger over. If he'd have stayed a bit deeper, then it would have turned into a one-on-one situation. In the end, he got worst of both worlds in that he came, didn't get there. And of course, it meant it was squared for a very simple finish. And of course, at that point, he would be a little bit disappointed because he has made the decision to come and collect the ball and ultimately just misjudged it.
Someone else who came was Emi Martinez, Aston Villa 1, Manchester City 2. The winner scored by Rodri. Should Martinez have come or should he have stayed?
It's a similar situation for me in that I think if you stay and they score the header, you don't get blamed. I think if you come and they score the header, you do get blamed. And the reason being is that, of course, by committing and not getting there, you then don't have any opportunity to actually make the save. You've ruled yourself out of play effectively. But it is such a difficult one because, again, we're talking about a goalkeeper who is very front-footed, who does look to affect play. He's had a fantastic season. And I think once that ball's crossed in, I think most goalkeepers think, oh, I can come and collect this. And that's exactly what's happened. It's not crossed in from too far. So he hasn't got long to make his decision. Once he has made his decision, thinking, I can get to it at just about a high enough point to get there first. But unfortunately for him, there are a couple of players in front great spring, it has to be said, for the header, and they've just got that tiniest of flicks, and that's enough then to take it over him and into the far corner.
And finishing in the Premier League, Chelsea 0, Brighton 0. Nothing really to report on this one, bar Kepa being in for Chelsea, of course. And Petr Cech with fans outside the ground. And this was a strange thing to see. Let's just quickly play a bit of it, because it was mad to just hear him.
Let people sort this out, but this is not the thing. You have the team. Yes, but you must die. You let people die. If you let the people in, let the bus go in.
And there were fans all around him, weren't there? Of course, when you've got Petr Cech in amongst you, I think part of them were like, this is a ledge. We'll take this. We're really angry right now, but that's Petr Cech.
Let's get a quick selfie.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so a mad situation, yeah. But typical of Cech, really, to be the one who went out and said, I'm going to stand in the middle of this lot. Don't care.
Yeah, I love the role that Petr Cech's played the last couple of years. And no, that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, look, we haven't touched on, but then I know we're not really going to touch on this whole European Super League thing that
no
came
need
and,
to waste any
went.
Breath whatsoever.
But you get the impression that obviously Petr Cech, the players, like obviously nobody really knew what was going on. So something like this, as far as they're concerned, they just want to crack on with the game and play the game. So naturally, he will have fully understood exactly the frustrations of the fans and everything else. But again, he is that guy. He's not scared to put himself out there. I mean, for anyone that follows his Instagram, which if you don't, I'd massively recommend that you do, he really does put himself out there. And some of the different things that he tries and does and what have you, no, I love him. I think as a character, fantastic. Okay, enough of the Premier League action. I'd like to hear a little bit of this now.
Yes, it is the Championship Rundown, and we are going to start, Richard, with some fine footwork on show. First, an assist for Asmir Begovic to see Arno Danjuma on his way. Bournemouth battering Millwall, but thank you very much to the Bournemouth goalkeeper. And we've actually had a WhatsApp in from the Bournemouth goalkeeping analyst, Matt Parker, messaged us to say that he thought this clip of Asmir deserves some credit, which it absolutely does, especially for a big goalkeeper who's not been raised in the modern arts of goalkeeping. At the age of 33, he's still learning and improving. Great point.
Yeah, absolutely. Phenomenal assist. You know, the amount of times that a goalkeeper will collect the ball and you have that moment of excitement because you might see that a winger is free or a striker's peeling off and there is the opportunity. Can you distribute at that time, nail it in order to put them in? And to be honest, most of us, we don't ever quite execute that technique perfectly, and we might get there or thereabouts, but to actually nail it in the way that he did, just the perfect side volley, so low, with pace, right into his path, I cannot explain how difficult this is to do, but it's exactly what he's done, and it couldn't have been any more perfect, and it then creates a one-on-one situation, and it's a good finish from the lad.
Next, Wickham and Bristol City, and David Stockdale, carrying on the foot theme. A foot save from Antoine Semenyo at 1-1. I think that save deserves more credit than it was actually given. And then a thunderous effort handled by Casey Palmer in the Bristol City box. It awarded the Chairboys a penalty. It duly gave them the 3 points because Bayo Akinfenwa stepped up. But David Stockdale, what a man.
Yeah, phenomenal. He's done really well since he stepped in. I think the points that Wickham have got recently, they're giving themselves a glimmer, it has to be said, a chance of certainly getting the winner in the last minute as well. It's certainly not beyond the realms, but no, a very good performance. Say with his foot, you're right, because it looks at first glance like, and this would be one that the commentators no doubt would say has hit him, but actually what he's done is he's planted his foot in such a way that it's struck with such pace. He's then planted his foot knowing that it's going to hit him and rebound off. So it is, it's a very, he's shown awareness in order to make that save. And then, yeah, the side volley in the final minute, he was heavily involved in the corner beforehand and he stayed up there. Similarities of Schmeichel back in the day, actually, when I think about this. No jokes. What I quite liked is that he didn't retreat. He stayed around the edge of the box. And if you spoke about awareness previously, element of awareness here, because the natural thing to do might be to go and get involved in the 6-yard box and hang around there, or like a lot of goalkeepers do, the moment the first phase of play has ended, they just sprint back to their goal. But actually, he hovers around the edge of the box. Of course, the ball breaks to him, which again, showing goalkeeping intelligence, knowing where the ball's going to end up. And I wouldn't say thunderous. I'd say that he connects with it, certainly. And it's just funny because you've got like five or six bodies in front of him before it's going to get to the goal. And the fact that one of the Bristol City players does handle it, which then leads to Bowek and Fenwa finishing with the penalty. It's the perfect end to this game. And the fact that Wickham was still in with a shout, three games to go. Not many people would have said that after they lost the first seven, I think it was. It's quite an achievement.
It is one of those situations, isn't it, where every single step has to go the correct way. And granted, he could have brought it down and thundered it into the top corner. That's the perfect ideal. But the fact that he did retreat, the fact that it landed to him, the ability to control it on his chest, adjust his body to hit it on the half volley, and the fact that he, we're not going to say shanked, because it wasn't shanked, it just wasn't cleanly connected, but then landed on Casey Palmer's arm. I mean, everything has worked in his favour. A great interview after the game as well, when he jumped in on Bowek and Fenwa. That was really good. And Duncan Alexander, at Oily Sailor on Twitter, very popular on Twitter, he is heavily involved in Opta, did say, he put this out, a stat, Wickham keeper David Stockdale has had as many shots in league games this month as Kevin De Bruyne and Jamie Vardy.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Dan Bentley, we should mention as well, didn't save the penalty, but a very good save from Bowek and Fenwa before he scored the winner.
Yeah, some fantastic footwork from Bowek and Fenwa. Got into the box, jinked, very nimble, moved, turned it back inside, did a little round the world, turned it back inside, whipped it into the top corner, and it was a very good save. It was one of those saves, though, that he started to go, and I think he realised as he's gone, he's so powerful, Daniel Bentley, as he started to go, he actually was probably a little bit more comfortable than he thought it would be, but good save nonetheless.
QPR's Joe Lumley, clean sheet at Swansea, and a big save from Corey Smith. Can't really do much more when you come in to replace the regular number one, can you?
No, look, Senny Dieng's been very, very good this season. You know, certainly he's been highlighted a lot for his performances, but credit to Joe Lumley, obviously doing what he did at Gillingham, at Doncaster, and now at QPR, whenever he's been given the opportunity. We spoke about his saves against Middlesbrough, two excellent saves, and another big save. And it is that term, big save, a save that is important at an important time that ends up meaning that you do get something out of the game. And the fact that they picked up 3 points again with him in goal, massive credit. I'm sure it's going to be an exciting summer for him.
Dan Everson denying George Edmondson as Preston demolished Derby. 1-0 at the time, 2. So that was a big save. And a big parry that I quite enjoyed later on as well from Tom Lawrence.
The parry is an interesting one. You're right, first and foremost, about the big save to his right, which actually speak a lot about camera angles. You watch it from the second camera angle when we watch the replays and you realise just how good it is, whereas the first one doesn't quite do it justice. I also enjoyed the big parry, but for me, that big parry is the exact type of save that a lot of commentators might call a camera save, or say that he's made a little bit of a meal of it. But the point is that he's got such distance on the parry, they're never ever going to score the rebound. So he's purposefully made a point of absolutely hammering it away. So yes, he could have made it look a little bit easier, but actually what he was doing was getting that purchase on the parry in order to get out of danger.
Tim Krul with a double save to keep out Ken Semmer and then Ismaila Sarr, but Watford still bagging the points against the Norwich team who, since they've gone up, now can't seem to win a game.
No, often happens. But no, really good save this from Tim Krul. Double save, as you mentioned. The first one down to his left. Good technique on the dive. It was the fact that he actually parried it into a very good area. Got good distance on the parry as well, bearing in mind that there wasn't loads of pace on the shot, but he's moved his arms in such a way to get a good parry. But realising it's going to the opposition, the speed at which he's able to get himself up, get across the goal and make the second save in particular, very good. And credit to him. You know, you look at Norwich going into the Premier League, you certainly feel that Tim Krul, no doubt, will be their number one in the Premier League too.
Ben Wilson with a flying save from a Connor Taylor header. Coventry winning at Stoke by the odd goal.
Yeah, brilliant save this. This is certainly a contender for save of the week, I think. Top corner, the way in which he's clawed it out and the power that he's shown in order to get there. You know, if you were to do a snapshot of this, there's one point where he is very much horizontal, really, really powerful to get himself across to his right and make the save. It really is an excellent save. And the save at the end, an important save and obviously an important 3 points for Coventry this. That takes them over the 50 mark. That should be them safe in the Championship, which for a team on Coventry's budget, incredible achievement, really. And certainly a big, big season for Ben Wilson, because he'd have been coming into this season very much as the number two, but finishing the season potentially as the number one.
It's been very much a case of hokey-cokey keepers at Coventry, and their opponents are the same. Hokey-cokey keepers. Angus Gunn back in for the Potters.
Yeah, interesting one, this one. I can only assume that given how well that Adam Davis has done, that this is just a case of giving Angus Gunn another chance in the same way in which a few of the other teams have rotated their keepers slightly. But it's always very difficult, I think, when you've got a keeper that's done as well as Adam Davis, for Angus Gunn to step back in, because you are having to fill big shoes and it can be difficult. And it's also difficult for a defence having different goalkeepers playing all the time. I mean, we speak about it a lot on this podcast, and I'm very much of the belief that goalkeeping is different to any other position, because I do think that that consistency in your goalkeeper, in your defence, is what enables you to have that solid platform to build from. And then more often than not, you'll see a lot of the changes made further up the pitch where you have that creativity and flair and whatever else you have. But when you see certain teams that are changing goalkeepers as much as they have, and I know from Stoke's point of view, it's not necessarily their fault. Initially, Adam Davis had an injury earlier in the season. Then Angus Gunn had an injury. Obviously, Joe Bursic came in and did well. But for a defence, having had that many goalkeepers behind them, it can't be easy.
And finally, Neil Etheridge taking frustrations out on the post. I just wanted to bring this up because, again, quite funny. Not for Etheridge, of course, but Nottingham Forest netting a 98th-minute equaliser from the spot. He was so close to Lewis Grabban's penalty and so close to five clean sheets in a row.
Yeah, he's been playing very, very well, certainly to finish the season and allow Birmingham to get to the number of points that you'd feel should be enough to keep them in the Championship. But it just shows how much it means to him. And I mean, look, every goalkeeper, especially when you're on a run of clean sheets as well, there is something about having a little run like that and seeing how long you can make it last. And when it's a last kick of the game job, it can certainly be incredibly frustrating. But even more frustrating for him, no doubt, will be the fact they didn't pick up the points.
So I did say finally with Neil Etheridge, but it's not finally. There is one more moment to discuss in the Championship, but unfortunately, it's one of these.
Bada boom, bada bing. It's only a keeper caper.
Brentford 1, Cardiff City 1, Richard. Alex Smithies with a good spread slash block to keep out Ivan Toney in the first half. Very good save that. But then the equaliser from Tariq Fosu-Henry. Please explain.
Yeah, it's moved.
Is that it?
No, it's a disappointing one, of course. Firstly, let's touch on the save. Brilliant save to his right. You're correct. He came out good distance from the player, made a good spread. Actually, got there with his hand, good reaction as well to make that save. Really, really top save. And it's a frustrating one for him because, look, we all know how good Alex Smithies is. But this thing comes back to what I was touching on a second ago about changing keepers. It must be so difficult for a goalkeeper to come in, and similarly, coming in for Dylan Phillips, who nominee for Player of the Month, has did as well as he did for Cardiff, and then having to step in for a number of games when you haven't played for some time, it will take you a bit of time to get up to speed. So I do feel a bit sorry for him in that regard, and there's just been a couple of moments since he's come back into the team, and obviously this was one of those moments, and it has moved. I know we disagree slightly on this. The fact that I'm saying it's moved is if you watch the replay from behind the goal, you can see there's no spin on the ball. That's more the case. So it's very difficult for your eyes to pick it up. It's dipping a little bit on him. And so the technique has to be so, so solid. You have to watch it to the very last second in order to hold it. And of course, he's just misjudged it ever so slightly. And it's a horrible one when it squirms past you like that. And no doubt he'll have been very upset by this.
We do disagree on it. And we're not here to pan goalkeepers. Of course we're not. It's the Goalkeepers Union podcast. But if we do want to keep our credibility, we also have to call out a goalkeeper when he does make a mistake. And that's an error, right? You're not saying that. I know the ball's moved, and I understand that you're going to talk about the knuckle ball and how that is very difficult for goalkeepers. And there's really no way that you can practice stopping a knuckle ball when it moves, because you just don't know which way the ball is going to move. But in this instance, I mean, if we're...
That's the point, though. I think you're right. Look, is it an error? Yes, it's an error, of course. And if you ask Alex Smithies, could you have done better? Yes, I could have done better. But of course, if that ball moves as you'd expect it to move, then he makes a save 100 times out of 100. Like, that's what he practices every single day in training in order to make sure the technique is solid when he needs it most. One of the reasons I know that it's moved is because that didn't happen. It's not like Alex Smithies has taken his eye off it and he's thinking about distributing the ball. That's not the case at all. He is watching it all the way in, and unfortunately he has just misjudged it ever so slightly, which to me then says he hasn't quite picked it up. It has moved a little bit on him, and unfortunately wasn't able to execute the technique. And for someone of Alex Smithies' ability and for someone who's been as consistent as he has, it isn't the type of error that you'd certainly associate with Alex Smithy. So, look, I feel for him because he is one of the most, from what I know of him anyway, he's certainly one of the most professional goalkeepers that I've heard of. And what I mean by that is that he really takes what he does seriously. And I'm sure moments like this will certainly hurt him.
Poor old Smudge is what Mick McCarthy said. And to be fair to McCarthy, he did come out after the game and said, I feel for him because he sat in the dressing room and really brokenhearted. But that's what happens, I suppose, a goalkeeper's life. And he did flag the save he made in the first half too. So it looks like he's still got the backing of his manager. We'll wait and see what happens in the next game. Best of the rest from the EFL, Richard. And we're going to go in pairs here, okay, in League One. Okay. Firstly, a pair of penalty saves. One from Will Jaskulainen, his second in three games, saving from Carl Vassell. How it stayed out thereafter is an absolute mystery. And then Andrew Fisher denying Luke Leahy in injury time as MK Dons all but sent Bristol Rovers down.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. The angle that he got on the save, Jaskulainen, baffles me because it's come. He's kind of dived to his right, made the save, and it's gone back across him and almost out for a corner the other side. Of course, the player then comes in, and as you say, how he didn't put it into the empty net. Very, very strange. But no, very good save. And then, yeah, Andrew Fisher, and there is an interesting story behind this in that I believe it's his first penalty save this season. I might be wrong in saying that, but I think it's his first penalty save. And the story behind it is that, so his goalkeeper coach, Dean Thornton, who is a very good goalkeeper coach, gives him, like, studies the penalties religiously, but it just hasn't quite worked out yet in terms of him making a save this season from a penalty, despite all the research. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. So for this one, Fish actually did say to Dean Thornton that I'm just going to go with my gut, I'm going to go with my instinct. Anyway, when the penalty was taken, they've got codes, and I won't give away their code because, of course, opposition may be listening in, but they've got codes in order to let the goalkeeper know which corner they should dive in, whether it's low right, low left, top right, top left, or stay central. And anyway, let's just say that Dean Thornton was then screaming at him from the sideline, instructing him to go a certain way. Fish ignored him, went the other way, and of course made the save. So it was a happy ending in the end. Credit to Fish, though. He actually came out in the media and did give Dean a little bit of love and credited him for the save itself. And I know that the work they're doing there, obviously Fish getting a lot of praise at the moment, and the work that Russell Martin's doing. It must be a tough job playing for a Russell Martin team, given how much distribution and the way in which you have to play. But at the same time, you get the impression they've got a really nice environment there.
So before the game, they'd agreed that just go with your gut.
Yeah.
The penalty comes. Dean Thornton's like, no, we can't do it. We've got to stick to the system. What if it does go the way that Dean Thornton has said it's going to go? Then what? And it goes in because he's dived the opposite way.
I mean, this is it, right? I mean, I remember when I played and obviously early days, you do just go with your gut. And I had a reasonable enough record doing that. But then towards the end, for me anyway, it was going with the advice from the coach. And thankfully, I was given some really good advice. And, you know, a few of my more well-known penalty saves. I don't know if I mentioned the three at Charlton. I might have, but if
that's
I haven't,
twice,
yeah, that's right. So the three that I made there, for instance, I knew because the goalkeeper coach had told me which way to go on all three. So that's a great example of where you're given the information, it's spot on, and it works. But of course, if you're a penalty taker, you're not an idiot. You know that the goalkeeper will often know where you've gone previously. So there's a good chance they're going to bluff you and go the other way. So sometimes you do just have to go with your gut. I think ultimately now, goalkeeper coaches will work with a goalkeeper, and it can't be robotic. It can't be that you have to do what I say. Go with what you feel, but this is what I advise.
So where do we draw the line here then? Because this is something we've spoken about so much on the podcast before. I instantly think of Nick Colgan, now Nottingham Forest goalkeeper coach, who said, you know what, I used to do all the analysis. He had a book. This was before the internet, and he would watch all the highlights from when those, was it NZ League highlights, NZ League Extra or Nationwide League Extra on at like 2 o'clock in the morning or something. He would watch those and then jot it all down in a book. But he said that penalty that he saved in the playoff final against Swansea for Barnsley, he just went with his gut, just decided to go with his gut. Something told him at that time, go with your gut. Mark Crosley, he just said, yep, I guessed. And he had a great record in saving penalties. But then more recent times, you think of the save made by Jack Stevens for Oxford, and Wayne Brown gave him that diagram, right, of this is where you need to go. This exact area is where you need to go. So where do we draw the line? Which one is good? Which one is not good? Or which one works? Which one doesn't work? Or do they both work?
I mean, it has to be the relationship between the goalkeeper and goalkeeper coach, I think. Because there is, look, you guys listening in, I know you'll have had this where they're about to take a penalty and there's just something in you that's telling you which way it's going. And you can't ignore that. It's so frustrating if you do ignore it and you do something else based on instruction, and exactly what you thought would happen happens. So for me, I think it needs to be a case of, yeah, look, more often than not, you're probably going to do what the data tells you, what the information, the intel tells you. However, I think there's going to be those moments where you just feel it. You see the player step up. They might have glanced in a corner. They might have lined the ball up a certain way. The angle of their run-up might tell you something. The type of player they are might tell you something. And you've just got a gut feeling as to what they're going to do. Personally, I'd always go with the gut feeling.
Can I quickly ask you about your opinion on Joey Barton's post-match comments? He was chatting for a long time after the game. He said this team was dead. Now it was over. He said that I'm all in to turn this sinking ship around because it's like the Titanic at the moment. He's labelled a lot of the players fake footballers, don't deserve to be playing for this football club, lots of them here, and they need to get better. And he also alluded to something called snus or snus. You may be aware of this because of players that you've spoken to, I don't know, but he said, my first day at the training ground, there's 11 pouches of chewing tobacco on the floor on the training pitch. Now, when I read this initially, I thought, maybe that's that caffeine gum that you'd spoken about before that some players use, but this is different.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something that I know quite a few players that use it. I don't know too much about it, to be honest, but yeah, it's something that I know is quite popular. I mean, it's as simple as that. I don't really know what effect. It gives you some form of calming effect.
Like reducing anxiety or something.
Yeah, so I mean, look, I don't know if players necessarily use it to help or hinder what they do on the field, but I know it is... Certainly, you wouldn't have heard of them 5 years ago, 10 years ago. But now, I know when I was leaving Brentford, there was a handful of players that were, yeah, you'd see them all over the gym. It was a bit gross, to be honest. They were kind of in the corner of the gym randomly. But yeah, you would see quite a lot of them. So there was quite a lot of players then that used them. And it sounds like it's a bit of a trend that's continued.
Funny odd thing, isn't it? Calling your players fake footballers as well, though, I can't imagine. I mean, he said that he's going to completely revamp the squad. And I think after saying that, you're probably going to need to.
Yeah, I think the moment you've done that, he needs him. I mean, look, it sounds like they need a major clear out this summer anyway. And I'm sure that's what will happen. It'll be interesting, of course, because we've mentioned both of their goalkeepers on here quite regularly. And seemingly, they've both had a reasonable enough season. But we'll certainly see whether they're two of the survivors or not.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Back to the pairs. A pair of attempted saves from outfielders. Always funny to see this. James Henry of Oxford and Kel Watts of Plymouth. Now, one successful, the other not. Although the success resulted in the save and a red card for Henry. So I suppose it depends how you look at it.
Not really a success, is it? I mean, but it's got to be difficult for a defender because your natural tendency is, I do not want this ball to go in the goal and I'll do whatever I need to do in order to stop it from going in the goal. But of course, that in this particular game was costly because I think at the time Oxford were one up, I believe that made it 1-1. Then you're down to 10 men, you lose the game 2-1. And actually in hindsight, had he just allowed that to go in, then I'm sure 11 against 11 at 1-1, they've got a better chance of of getting the victory. But it's what it is. And then as you mentioned, the Plymouth game, he wasn't able to quite keep it out. His technique wasn't great, it has to be said, as he's dived to his left and kind of got quite a feeble hand to it as it's gone in the corner. But that did mean that he didn't get his red card.
And finally, a pair of not so great moments. First, Thomas Holy not getting a strong connection on a clearance as Ipswich lost at Northampton. Ryan Watson finishing in an empty net.
Yeah, this is an awkward one. He's come to it and it was a technique he's tried to use. He's almost tried to side foot it. So for those that haven't seen it, it's a ball through. It's a bouncing ball and it is quite high and he's just outside the corner of his box. And rather than maybe just putting out for a throw in, which would have been the safe play, he has tried to put it back up the field and get some distance on it. Gone with a big side foot, right foot, wasn't able to get his foot or his leg quite high enough. And in the end, didn't get much of a connection on it. And it was quite a simple finish.
And the other being Ellery Balcombe. Now, this would have been a contender for keeper capers, but we didn't want to do two. So we've just left it at one. But he had a bit of a rush of blood to the head on this one. Accrington beating Doncaster 2-0. And it was the second goal that he conceded a penalty.
Yeah, it's a bit of a frustrating one, this one, for him. And I guess watching in that, look, first and foremost, ball's come in. He should hold the initial effort. Isn't quite able to hold it. That's fine. Drops, and it almost hits his foot and gets away from him. So it's obviously a frustrating moment, but the ball is running away from goal. The bit that I suppose I'm a little bit frustrated for him about is that he chases it, ends up diving in and giving away the penalty, but it's the fact that he did something very, very similar not so long ago. And I guess we speak a lot about goalkeepers. Of course, you can have all these different situations, and it's then what you're able to learn from those situations. So my guess is that he's most frustrated that it is a very similar situation to the one that he's had before. And look, in hindsight, this is one of them where, okay, if you go out towards the ball, the moment you realize it's going to be a 50-50, you stop in your tracks, you then try and make yourself as big as you can, or at that moment you retreat back to your goal and then wait for the second phase of play. But I can sense what's happened because I've been there myself. He's made an initial error. He's trying to make up for that error, desperate. So it's not for bad reason. His intentions are very good. But of course, the decision-making at that point is impaired because he has done it while he's, I'm sure, got plenty of adrenaline flowing, rush of blood, whatever you want to call it. And he's made that second decision based on the first decision. And that, for me, in the end, is why he gave away the penalty.
Into League Two, just very quickly, Cole Leather and a solid stop from Lionel John Lewis on the stroke of half-time, actually, in this one, Morecambe winning at Grimsby.
Yeah, good save this. Big right hand. We mention Mr. Leather in a lot on this show, it feels like, which is credit to him, because it's more often than not for positive reasons. And this was a very good save up to his right. Good athleticism, good technique shown, big right hand, good save.
Another hokey-cokey keepers. I don't know the exact reasons behind these ones, so we'll just reference them. If anybody does know, please do let us know. Joe Cracknell, currently in for James Belshaw at Harrogate. Very decent saves to keep Oldham at bay in the first half. First from Cameron Borthwick-Jackson and then Connor McElhaney. And then the horrible charge down moment as George Blackwood finished the game off. Not the first time we've seen this in League Two this season.
Yeah, it's a shame because you take that moment out and this would have been a very good performance. That save you mentioned early on, point blank save, great reaction, big, big save. But the goal, of course, would be really frustrated. Ball's come back, horrendous pitch, and that does impact his touch, I think. And then it's that moment after he still manages to get there first as he's chasing it. But of course, as he smashed it against the striker, it goes in the one place he wouldn't have wanted it to go. It has gone straight back and nestled into the net. So an unfortunate moment, a moment that certainly would be made all that more frustrating given how well he'd done before that.
And a very similar moment in Salford's win over Walsall, where there is another case of hokey-cokey keepers. Jack Rose, who's also been stepping in of late for Liam Roberts, having to deal with a dodgy back pass in chases in Henderson, and he scores.
Henderson, a thorn in Rose? Does that work? No. Doesn't really work, does it?
Well, you can have it, mate. It's all right.
Close enough.
Well, quite far, but you can take it.
I mean, have we got any other Rose puns we can use right now? Feel like it might be an opportunity.
I mean, he's not come up smelling of roses there, has he?
I mean, that's a
does
good
that
one.
Work?
Quite solid.
Yeah,
I'll give you that. So, yeah, I feel for him again because he's another young goalkeeper stepping in. Lots made of him. Heard a lot about him at Southampton, so I'm intrigued to see how he does. Hopefully he'll get another couple of games. Again, I think this is a case of similar to what we spoke about other clubs, giving other goalkeepers a chance just to see what they've got and looking ahead into next season. But yeah, frustrating moment for him because I do feel that this was one of those where, again, it could rebound anywhere. And you could argue that maybe he needs to angle the kick slightly differently. I know he was a bit frustrated with the back pass, the fact that it has come back to him at such an angle where it does give the attacker a chance to close him down. But of course, in hindsight and in a perfect world, you try and aim it away from the striker, even if that means kicking out of play in order to ensure safety.
Sam Hornby, hokey-cokey keepers at Bradford, in for Richard O'Donnell. Danny Lloyd's cross of Tranmere deflected off Paddy O'Connor for the only goal of the game.
This annoyed me, this one.
It did, didn't it?
It really annoyed me. And it's not... Well, after, you know, two reasons, because you think it's an error, don't you?
No. I don't think... Don't try and get the listeners to hate me here. Mm. I feel like there's an agenda. There's a narrative that you're building against me here, Richard.
You are the Graham Souness.
I don't think that it's an error whatsoever. No, I just... You were like, no chance. And I just questioned whether he might have had a little chance.
No, okay. So this, for me, this isn't an error. That's what I'll say first and foremost. The bit that bugged me about this is Sam Hornby's reaction. I don't know why he's lying there for so long afterwards, because all that's saying to me is, you think that's an error. Now I think it's an error because you've lay there for about 15 seconds and everybody's now looking at you thinking, ah, he should have done better there. I mean, look, this is And this is a case for me of, and I'm never going to say to a goalkeeper, point the finger or try and deflect attention if you know it's your fault. If you know it's your fault, hold your hands up. Absolutely. But for a moment like this, play the game. Like, be careful. By you doing that, everybody now thinks this is Sam Hornby's error. And my guess, and I think you said something to me off air, that someone did blame him for this.
Well, all the commentary was, yeah, that he's had one. He won't want to see this again.
Right, and that's because of his reaction. Now, what's ended up happening was this was a cross from an angle, taken a huge deflection, which has meant that it's come back on him. For him to have saved this, now look, could he have saved it? Possibly, but he's probably going to break his leg in doing so because of what he needs to do. He needs to get himself back on himself in order to get his hand down and scoop it out.
That bit extreme, break look, his leg.
All right, maybe it's a bit extreme. But my point is, it would have been a phenomenal save if he'd have managed to get himself back in order to claw this out. We're talking about this as one of the saves of the week, so this is not an error, but his reaction has made it look like an error.
Okay, and to finish in League Two, credit given where credit is due. Tom Conlon of Port Vale besting Barrow's Joel Dixon from miles out. What a goal, and what a valiant attempt from Joel Dixon to try and save it.
This really tickled me because, look, nothing a goalkeeper can do. For me, I think that you would consider where his position would be. Ball's on the halfway line. He's probably penalty spot. And the guy has absolutely nailed this on the side volley. It's a phenomenal technique and it's dipped into the goal. So it's actually gone, kind of must have gone into the goal sort of mid to quite high because it's gone in over the line, if that makes sense. So the angle at which it's coming down, I don't think there's a keeper that saves this, but it's just the fact he dives and he's a good 6 yards out when he dives and he must be 10 yards from the ball. But I love the fact that he dives, but it does really tickle me. There is a moment, if you pause it, when the ball's dipping under the crossbar and he's at full stretch and he is a good 10 yards from the ball.
One more to finish, Richard. One more game to finish. It was a top-of-the-table clash in the WSL. Man City women hosting Chelsea women. A big game. Anne-Katrin Berger and Ellie Robock with brilliant performances in this one. Berger first from the Lauren Hemp header. This was viral on social media. Incredible stop.
Yeah, delicious save from Berger.
Better.
Thank you. No, really, really good this. Like the reaction that she saw, firstly, the positioning, the fact that she moved ever so slightly to her left, then having to get herself back to her right, and it's fingertips. The speed of reaction is phenomenal. And actually, you look at where the ball ends up, there's no other place this could have gone other than the goal. It's literally hit the angle as it's then gone out. And obviously, such a vital save for them. The fact they've been able to keep the 2-point lead at the top of the table, only a couple of games to go, and you'd think, again, without jinxing them, they should win their final two games and, of course, win the league, which will be a huge achievement for them. And you mentioned the save in the last minute as well. Very good. 1-1, came out, spread. Good save. Of course, had they lost this game, that would have been game over. So might still be an important save.
Absolutely. Okay, this has been a lot longer than we thought it was going to be. We thought this was going to be a quick short and sharp.
There you go. I think 15 minutes was filled with our bickering early on. But maybe you guys, if you just want to fast forward past that, then I think the rest of it's been quite succinct.
Oh God, I've got to do a poll now, haven't I? I've got to put a poll up on Twitter.
You do, absolutely. And I'm intrigued. Okay. We're going to touch on this on Monday. And I don't know how I'm going to celebrate. I haven't actually considered yet what I'll do. I might just have a party for all those that voted for me / Schmeichel. We might just have a little party maybe, especially now that social distancing is soon to end and we're coming towards an end of all this, hopefully, possibly. We'll have a little bit of a get-together.
Well, let's just hope we get more than 10 people getting involved in the poll. Actually, let's put it out there. Please get involved in the poll just to make it worthwhile. And do you know what? We've had Casper on the pod. Let's try and get his dad on. Let's try and get Peter on, and then we can put this to him and say, yes, Schmeichel Senior, did you or did you not connect with that header? And I cannot wait for him to say, oh, do you know what? Actually, I didn't touch it.
Okay, we'll see. Well, like, do you know what? Until that moment, we're never going to know. However, this poll will give us a good indication.
Fantastic. Richard, nothing but a pleasure.
Matthew, as always.
Actually, we're gonna say farewell with Ellie Roebuck today, okay? Okay, so you can have a little break.
Pretty much redundant these days.
You are. This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast between the sticks. Keepers.